DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Hello, hello, welcome. It's December 3rd, 2020. It's time for some news. Whew, man, I ate a big lunch, so sorry, I'm a little sleepy now. I ate quickly and too much. The good life. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. If you want, there is live chat. You just connect to comm. You just SSH over to SDF. I like tty.sdf.org, but just SSH over. And then once you're there, press comm, C-O-M, hit enter, and then you'll be in the chat program. You just press G for go to, you can type in on radio, and you'll be in the chat room. And then press H for help if you need help. Q quits or control C. It's an easy time. It's a fun time. Anyway, on I go. I type an on radio and say hello. All right, so let's get moving. Sorry, I'm clogged up. What's the world coming to? My Jinjin Mei is in the other room. When we get to the song, I'm going to go get it. All right, so let's talk about the thing we always talk about.
World news.
It is Thursday. All right. So let's get going. Sorry about the delay. All right. First up, the world's leading terrorist organization, the CIA, had an officer killed in a Somali raid on a suspected Al-Shabaab bomb maker. A CIA officer died during a raid in Somalia last month, targeting a key extremist thought to be responsible for an attack that killed an American soldier in Kenya last year. The official was deployed alongside Somali and U.S. special forces during the operation at Jindirshi, a coastal village about 30 miles southwest of Mogadishu, and died when firefighters from Al-Shabaab extremist movement detonated a car bomb minutes after the raid began on November 6th. A Somali intelligence officer who works with the U.S.-trained Somali Danab Special Forces Unit in the Lower Shabelle said, "Our officers were supported by the U.S. officers. We flew at 2 a.m. that night. The soldiers disembarked from the chopper and went on foot into the bush before a huge explosion went off and killed the American friend and four of our Somali officers." Hello, welcome, Publius, welcome. Yeah, so it's pretty wild, wild stuff. CIA's world famous for upsetting and overthrowing regimes around the world, so no real surprise they're in Somalia. All right, let's keep on going. This is from Reuters. Italian regions up in arms over government's Xmas COVID curbs. Italy's regions on Thursday hit out at the government over its latest curbs to control the coronavirus, saying they were not consulted over measures that were too hard on families and did not compensate hard-hit businesses. Under a decree approved late on Wednesday, Italians will not be able to move between the country's 20 regions from December 21st to January 6th, except for work, medical reasons, or emergencies. On Christmas Day, Boxing Day, and New Year's Day, they cannot even leave their towns. In a joint statement, the regional government said they had not been consulted, and the lack of discussion has made it impossible to balance the curbs with the needs of families. Since the start of Italy's pandemic, there's been a constant friction between central government led by Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte and regional authorities, most of which are in the hands of the center-right opposition. And I think that kind of goes everywhere around the world. People acknowledge that the pandemic is a problem, but don't want to do anything about it. Don't make me do anything about it. That's kind of the message around the world, but depending on what country you're in and how you feel about life, about society, the behavior is different. So it's kind of interesting. Interesting. Publius reminds us in comm that Bavaria has decided to loosen restrictions for Christmas without tightening them during December. So we'll see what happens out there. So speaking of things that could end badly, Indonesia is eager to clinch French Rafale fighter jets deal soon. That's right, negotiations between France and Indonesia for the purchase of 48 French Rafale fighter jets are advancing at a fast pace, and a deal could be inked soon. French website LaTribune.fr said on Thursday, citing several sources, Indonesia would like to seal a deal before the end of the year, but French negotiators want to take the time necessary to fine-tune the details. So, Indonesia will be in the air. And this, I had to share this story because I found this to be so hypocritical, maybe? Yeah, I think hypocritical is the right word. So, the U.S., get this, this is pretty amazing. The U.S. is banning cotton imports from China because of slave labor. America, that built its entire empire on slave labor and cotton, and tobacco, but and cotton, is now blocking trade from China. So the administration of the United States raised the economic pressure on China's western region of Xinjiang, banning cotton imports from a powerful Chinese quasi-military organization that it says uses the forced labor of detained Uyghur Muslims. The U.S. Customs and Border Protection Agency, also the attack dogs or the SS of the United States, said on Wednesday its withhold release order would ban cotton and cotton products from the Xinjiang Production and Construction Corps, abbreviated as XPCC, that's X-Ray Papa Charlie Charlie, one of China's largest producers. The move, which could have a sweeping effect on companies... sweeping effect on companies involved in selling textiles and apparel to the U.S. is among several the Trump administration's been working on in its final week to harden the U.S. position against China, making it more difficult for President-elect Joe Biden to ease tensions. Yeah, so, that's pretty wild, right? The Department of Homeland Security's Kenneth Cuccinelli, who oversees the border agency, called Made in China a warning label. So, you can kind of see where they're at. The U.S., oh man, is all about me first. So, there we go. Reuters here is telling us, this comes to us from Czech. Czechs raised glasses in pubs, grubbed lunch again at restaurants, and hit the shops for the first time since October on Thursday, as coronavirus measures were eased before the Christmas season. And then it has a photo, and it's disturbing because... sorry about that. It's disturbing because it shows people walking down like a street, and you can see five people's faces, and two people are wearing masks properly, and the rest are not, or not wearing a mask at all. So anyway, yeah, the Czech people in the Czech Republic and its neighbors. There's a chart, and basically. The Czech Republic did what it's supposed to do, locked everybody up, and they are now, they've got rates below Austria, Poland, and Hungary. More than Germany, but not a lot. So anyway, very interesting stuff. Can we see the comparison line? Where's that bit? They've got charts and graphs, but no analysis of those charts and graphs, so I'm sorry. I cannot give you more details there. So, cocoa farmers in the Ivory Coast are threatening to boycott sustainability programs. Cocoa farmers in the Ivory Coast on Thursday said they would withdraw from chocolate industry's sustainability programs if companies try to avoid paying a premium aimed at combating farmer poverty. World's top producer introduced a $400 per ton premium this season, known as a living income differential, to increase farmer wages. The move was welcomed by farmers, but has driven up prices for Ivorian cocoa, just as the coronavirus pandemic dents global demand, causing friction between large chocolate companies and the workers growing the raw crop. What? I don't know. Hello, Tobe. Hi, X1. I'm seeing there's some interesting comm stuff going on, so it's comm shenanigans. At stake are the sustainability schemes that certify that the cocoa that international companies buy is free of environmental and human rights abuses. They allow companies to market their chocolate as ethically produced and charge more for it, although the schemes cover less than half of the Ivory Coast cocoa exports. So yeah, so in news that surprises no one, companies are very happy to have slave labor if they can get away with it. And staying in Africa, Ethiopian Jews have been flown to Israel in a latest operation. Hundreds of Ethiopian Jews have been airlifted to Israel, the first of several thousand waiting to immigrate there in a long-running saga. Most of their community has lived in transit camps in Ethiopia for years as questions over their eligibility has dogged the process. The immigrants are related to Ethiopian Jews brought to Israel decades ago in a series of secret operations. Israel had been accused of delaying bringing the remaining group in. The issue gained greater urgency in recent weeks as fighting between the Ethiopian government and local forces in the Tigray region threatened to spread south to Gondar City, where most of the Jews are now housed. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his political rival, alternate Prime Minister Benny Gantz, greeted the 316 new arrivals at Ben Gurion Airport. So, very cool. Yeah, of everyone involved in the food and production industry, all those raw material people are paid so little, it's just ridiculous. It's very sad. All right, focus, Marcus, focus. Hong Kong court denies bail to Jimmy Lai over fraud charges. Vocal pro-democracy supporter will be in jail until April in a move condemned in his attempt to silence critics. You may remember him from a story a couple months back. Hong Kong media mogul Jimmy Lai will spend the next 6 months in prison after he was denied bail on Thursday on what critics say are trumped-up charges designed to remove one of the government's most vocal critics. Lai is a well-known figure in the territory's democracy movement, and his media company, Next Digital, publishes the China skeptic newspaper Apple Daily in Hong Kong and Taiwan. 71-year-old was arrested on Wednesday on charges of fraud for using his offices for purposes not stated on the lease, alongside two of his Next Digital colleagues, CEO Wang Wai-kyung and Chief Operating Officer Chow Tat-kyun. Wang and Chow were released on bail, but the magistrate said Lai would have to remain in custody until April 16th because there was a risk he would abscond. So it's a very interesting story. But yeah, that's what's happening over there. All right, let's see. Do we have a bunch of... I think that's most of our international news. We've got some U.S.-involved international news to cover here in a second. But before we do that, I want to take a minute and be sure and remind you, you are listening to Anon Radio. This is news to me. The Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe is coming up in about, 16 minutes or so from now. And it'll be a good time, so definitely stick around. We're going to go ahead and play a song real quick. Are you ready for this? Have you heard about this? I want to hear this song again. This song's called Clay Pigeons. It's a song by Blaze Foley, who's a local artist here in Austin, way back. But it's a very good song, or at least I like it. Here we go.
This is a song called Clay Pigeons. Hi, Mom. I'm going down to the ground station, gonna get a ticket to ride. Gonna find that lady with two or three kids and sit down by her side. Ride till the sun comes up and down around me about two or three times. Smoking cigarettes in the last seat. Try to hide my sorrow from the people I meet and get along with it all. Go down where people say y'all. Sing a song with a friend, change the shape of her men, and get back in the game, start playing again. I'm tired of running around looking for answers to questions that I already know. I could build me a castle of memories just to have somewhere to go. Count the days and the nights that it takes to get back in the saddle again. Feed the pigeons some clay. Turn the night into day. Start talking again when I know what to say.
You're listening. listening to Anon really? Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
There we go. Got to unmute the microphone. That was Blaze Foley. Anyway, there's a cartoon that was on YouTube. I'm sure it's somewhere else, but on YouTube there was a cartoon that was like on the tour bus. It was a Mike Judge project, and they covered Blaze Foley in it, and it was so moving. I just love it so much. I hadn't heard of this guy. So anyway, let's... Ooh, the ginger may is done. It smells so good. All right, let us get into it. Let's talk about some U.S. stuff. We're going to gloss over some of it because you'll hear about it more somewhere else, I'm sure. Sorry, I'm a bit scattered. New U.S. coronavirus aid bill uncertain as Senate leaders joust. Well, yeah, that's pretty much the state of affairs. U.S. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell on Thursday said there was some positive movement in congressional efforts to reach a compromise on a new coronavirus aid bill, but he gave no hints on when the deal might be struck. Now, it's been heartening to see a few hopeful signs in the past few days toward a deal, McConnell said, but he didn't provide details. So, yeah, basically, there's movement. Whether or not, whether or not they're actually going to make any progress, good luck. Knowing them, as in most extremely wealthy, powerful people, they really don't care. So it'll probably be the new year before we figure anything out. So Iran is kind of in a weird spot. Excuse me. Iran will fully comply with a 2015 deal aimed at preventing it from developing nuclear weapons if both the U.S. and Europe honor their original commitments, Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif said on Thursday. U.S. President Donald Trump quit the pact in 2018, saying it didn't do enough to curb Iran's nuclear and ballistic missile programs or its militant influence in the Middle East. However, President-elect Joe Biden has said he will rejoin it if Tehran first resumes strict compliance. He has also said he would work with the allies to strengthen and extend it. Addressing a Rome conference via video link, Zarif said the so-called Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action could not be renegotiated, but it could be resurrected. The United States has commitments. It is not in a position to set conditions, he said. Iran's Guardian Council watchdog body approved a law on Wednesday that obliges the government to halt UN inspections of its nuclear sites and step up uranium enrichment beyond the limits set under the 2015 deal, if sanctions are not eased within 2 months. Zarif said that although the government did not like the law, it would nonetheless implement it. So this is a very interesting move by Iran, because it's pretty much saying, hey, U.S. government, you said you would do this. Well, put your money where your mouth is. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully so. I want to... Golly, I don't know what it is. I ate some General Tso's chicken, and I think it was too sweet. Like, the sauce was real... It's too sweet, real thick today, so I think it's clogging up my throat. Anyway, that's why I keep going off the air. I keep having to cough. All right. Well, it didn't take long. U.S. imposes fresh sanctions on Iran targeting individuals. The United States on Thursday imposed fresh Iran-related sanctions, blacklisting an entity and an individual as Washington continues to ramp up pressure on Tehran during the U.S. President Trump's final months in office. The U.S. Treasury Department in a statement said that it slapped sanctions on Shahid Maysami Group and its director, accusing the entity of being involved in Iran's chemical weapons research and linked to the Iranian Organization of Defensive Innovation and Research. The move comes days after the killing of Islamic Republic's top nuclear scientists last week. Iran's supreme leader promised on Saturday to retaliate for the killing, raising the threat of a new confrontation with the West and Israel in the remaining weeks of Trump's presidency. Iranian diet or parliament? Yeah, sorry. Keep on rolling here. The United States is imposing visa curbs on members of the Chinese Communist Party. Because, you know, the U.S. hates anything that's not the U.S. or threatens U.S. power. U.S. President Donald Trump's administration has issued rules to restrict travel to the United States by members of China's ruling Communist Party and their families, in its latest move to push back against Chinese activity in the country. Policy reduces the maximum validity length of B1, B2 non-immigrant business and tourist visas for party members and their immediate family from 10 years to 1 month. Think about that, 10 years to 1 month, the State Department said in a statement on Thursday. The measure was aimed at protecting the nation from the party's malign influence, it said, adding the party works to influence Americans through propaganda, economic coercion, and other nefarious activities. So, very exciting there. It said the party, which has more than 90 million members, also sends agents to the United States to unabashedly monitor, threaten, and report on Chinese nationals and Chinese American groups. Trump administration has sought to cement the outgoing president's tough-on-China legacy, and relations between the world's two largest economies have sunk to their lowest point in decades. China's foreign ministry denounced the move. Yeah. So we'll see. Yeah, it's always a big question mark. There is no real good guy or bad guy when we talk about politics. Whatever country you're in, that country is now the good guy, and the other people are now the bad guys. You can say that both nobody's clean. No one can claim the moral high ground. So we'll see what's going on there. Something to remember, or just a reminder, because it is early December, and a lot of times people forget. Pearl Harbor is coming up, or Pearl Harbor Day. This is a story on AP. Navy sailor Mickey Gannich was getting ready to play in a Pearl Harbor football game as the sun came up on December 7th, 1941. Instead, he spent the morning, still wearing his football padding and a brown team t-shirt, scanning the sky as Japanese planes rained bombs on the U.S. Pacific Fleet. 79 years later, the coronavirus pandemic is preventing Gannich and other survivors from attending an annual ceremony remembering those killed in the attack that launched the United States into World War II. The 101-year-old has attended most years since the mid-2000s, but will have to observe the moment from California this year because of the health risks. That's the way it goes. You gotta ride the tide, Gannich said in a telephone interview from his home in San Leandro, California. So, that's kind of it. There's a video, if you want to watch it, where they talk to him about it. Another article or story about old people who are dying or dead. Eddie Benton Benai, a co-founder of the American India Movement, AIM, has died at age 89. Eddie Benton Benai, who helped found the American Indian Movement Party in response to alleged police brutality against indigenous people, has died. He died Monday at a care center in Hayward, Wisconsin, where he had been staying for months, according to a family friend, Doreen Day. Day said Benton Benai had several health issues and had been hospitalized multiple times in recent years. Benton Benai, who is Anishinaabe Ojibwe, was born and raised on the Lac Court Orioles Reservation in northern Wisconsin. He made a life of connecting American Indians with their spirituality and promoting sovereignty, and was the Grand Chief or spiritual leader of Three Fires Midwin Lodge. Day said he was someone people looked to for guidance in the religious practice of the Anishinaabe Ojibwe people, and he gave countless babies their traditional names. Excuse me. Benton Benai's place in the American Indian Movement, a grassroots group formed in 1968, can be traced to his launch of a cultural program in Minnesota prison, said co-founder Clyde Bellacourt. So, if you want to learn more about that, it's called AIM, American Indian Movement. It's really important. My mom's story about that, the way she taught me about it was, she let me know that back then when the movement came out, her sister had to switch toothpaste because there was an AIM brand toothpaste, and if you bought that at the grocery store, they thought you were making a subtle but clear statement who you supported, and so she stopped buying that toothpaste so she wouldn't get harassed at school. And Austin, Texas is in the news. My hometown, or not my hometown, but it's where I live now. My town was in the news. Why, you ask? Well, let's have the BBC tell us. A U.S. mayor who flew off by private jet on holiday while urging residents to stay home is the latest politician to be accused of COVID-19 hypocrisy. Steve Adler, leader of Austin, Texas, went on a family getaway to Mexico as he told people to keep indoors amid spiraling coronavirus caseloads. He recorded a video from the beach resort instructing residents back home this is not the time to relax, but Mr. Adler, a Democrat, denied violating his own regulations. Neat. Publius' mother's parents were staunch Republicans and only ever bought AIM toothpaste. So that's pretty neat. So what did the Austin mayor do? He told the Austin American Statesman, which is our local paper, there was no recommendation for people not to travel during that period of time. Someone could look at me and say, he traveled. But what they could not say is that I traveled at a time when I was telling other people not to travel. According to the Austin American Statesman, Mr. Adler last month hosted an outdoor wedding reception with 20 guests for his daughter at an upmarket hotel in the city. The mayor acknowledged to the newspaper that masks distributed to guests were probably not worn all the time. The next day, the mayor and seven other attendees of the wedding boarded a private jet for the ocean resort of Cabo San Lucas, where they spent a week at a family timeshare. So, pretty wild. They go on to list other people. On Tuesday, Mayor of San Jose apologized for attending Thanksgiving dinner. A delegation of California lawmakers jetted off to a resort in Maui, Hawaii. California Senator Dianne Feinstein, U.S. House of Representatives Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Los Angeles County Superior Sheila Kuhl, County Supervisor, Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot, pass the potatoes, not COVID, avoid travel, tweeted Denver Mayor Michael Hancock last week en route to family dinner in Mississippi, and Washington, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser violated her own COVID-19 travel advisory. So, basically, all over the country, Americans know what we're supposed to be doing. We're just actively not doing it. And so we say, be sure you do this, and then do the opposite. Because, I mean, who cares? It's like, no one... that's really the problem, I think. No one really cares. The only people that care are the people in the hospitals having to try and cure people. Anyway, it's very sad. It's very sad. There are a lot of stories that I had bookmarked because my self-editing is bad, but we won't have time to get to them. We've only got about a minute to go, so I'll just say that the World Socialist website is letting us know about massive service cuts planned to public transit in Massachusetts. So if you are in Massachusetts, it's a good read. And there's a lot of stuff going on, but it's all... yeah, it's just kind of... it's the same thing, you know. Donald Trump's family is violating laws, but isn't going to get prosecuted. Corporations are evil and killing people, but no one cares. And our friend Bill Gates, he is supporting this group. A perennial feature of the COVID-19 pandemic has been the guessing game of whether things are getting better or worse. Oh, we're out of time. All right, well, thanks for tuning in, y'all. I'll see you tomorrow.
Well,
yes, X1, we should jail God.
Come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday.
All right, bye, everybody.
Before the dubious
goals
meeting with...